Welcome to True Crime from A to Z. I'm Sydney.
And I'm Shakira.
Shakira told us the story of Corporal Nathan Cirillo in a two-parter, and we felt strongly that we should cover the story that we slightly touched on of Warrant Officer Patrice Vincent, since we couldn't go into much detail on it before. But before Shakira starts, let's hear a quick word from our friends, our pod friends.
Movies inspired by real crimes, cruise ship deaths and disappearances, crimes that shape the course of history, and crimes involving families.
These are just a few of the series you can find on Corpus Delicti. Corpus Delicti is a weekly true crime podcast that takes a series approach, spending several weeks at a time discussing crime within a certain topic.
Hosted by two Southern Belles, we bring you compelling stories with a hint of Southern charm. Sometimes the stories will make you cry. Sometimes you might even laugh, but they're stories you won't want to miss.
Find Corpus Delicti on your favorite podcast app by searching for CORPUSDELICTI and join us every Tuesday. Hope to see you then.
Okay, so before we start, I am still having the sniffles, so I do apologize for that. So if I kind of sniffle a little bit, just bear with me. I'm almost better, so just, you know, be patient with me. It's the change of weather. All right, this content may be of a violent and disturbing nature, so it may not be appropriate for all audiences. And again, like Nathan's case with the topic of terrorist attacks linked to this episode, I would like to set a special warning if it is a topic that you struggle with that like causes you anxiety or something. So Sydney, I'm going to tell you about the guy that died just 2 days before Nathan.
Okay, let's hear his story.
So Warrant Officer Patrice Vincent and his family are extremely private, but this was the information I was able to find on him. I wasn't even able to find like what his birthday is, but I can kind of understand a family being super private because, you know, especially if something really hard happening to them, I wouldn't want to open up.
I feel like it'd be really hard to be too open in a situation like this, especially with something super traumatic.
For real. But what I did find out is that he was a 20-year veteran of the military.
Oh, wow.
So he was in there for quite a while.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it is. He served all around the country. He began his career as a combat engineer. So he's a very smart, intelligent man.
Mm-hmm.
He did this back in 1986. And then he later trained as a military firefighter. So that's an interesting one. A job that took him to different bases and warships around the country and all different parts of the world.
Cool.
He also did some IT work for the military and worked as a member of the Army's personnel support staff.
Wow.
All over the place.
He's like the man of many trades. That's,
he really,
that's really cool.
Really
he's super
was.
Well-rounded.
He really was. And I just thought that was so cool because it's so hard to even do like one thing and look at how many things he's doing. It's just, it's a very big talent.
That's impressive. Way to go.
Yeah. One of his colleagues said that Vincent had always put his country before himself. So I love that because it's like, that's a great man right there that he was just like, I'm here for my country. I'm here to serve, you know?
Yeah, that is such an honorable thing to put your country before yourself. That's so selfless and so just so honorable.
It really, really,
I love that.
Another of his colleagues, Stephanie Prolix, said of him, and this is a direct quote, always ready to help, and he didn't ask nothing in return. Good person, quiet person, very intelligent, many, many, many skills, and like I said, ready to help anyone at any time. I love that.
That is awesome. What high praise of an individual. I love that. So
there's
cool.
Hardly any praise that can be better. Like many, many, many skills. Like they emphasized how skilled he was and how ready he was to help people. And I just adore that. Mm-hmm.
That seems like a very common statement about him, that he was always ready to serve. That already, we don't know very much about him,
mm-mm,
but we already have heard that several times, that he was always ready to serve.
And that's a very great trait, is to just be like, I'm here to help you, because so many people are so busy with their own lives that they don't want to, they don't even think about it that much. They're just like, mm-hmm, I got to do me. I got to be me, you know, kind of thing. And so it's really nice to have people who are just like, I'm here to help you. It's a very beautiful thing.
We need lots of people like that.
Lots of people. He was also said to be, and this is beautiful, so I think you'll love this, Sydney.
Okay.
A selfless soldier. Not only among his friends was he and family was he known, but Canadians alike.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That is amazing. That is high praise also. Dang. This guy just has high praise everywhere from everybody. Family, friends, and Canadians alike.
It seemed he was super, super, super loved. And that is just beautiful.
So cool.
So now that we kind of know a little bit about him and that he is a very kind and selfless person, let's skip to October 20th, 2014. So this was 2 days before what happened to Nathan. When Warrant Officer Patrice Vincent, who was 53 years old at the time, and he was doing his IT military work that I had spoken of earlier. He was in the Quebec town of, and if I butcher this, I apologize. I mean, no offense whatsoever. St. Jean Sur Richelieu, located approximately 50 kilometers southeast of Montreal. That's where he was.
Okay.
So Vincent was assisting another member of the Canadian Armed Forces. Like everybody said, he was willing to help. So there he was, helping somebody else. This man wanted to visit a Veterans Affairs Service Center so that he could get the paperwork needed to retire. And so Vincent just jumped on the bandwagon. He's like, I'll help you. I will help you get the things that you need.
That's awesome.
So the two of them were walking in a parking lot in a strip mall when suddenly they were struck with extreme force by a car.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah. And sadly, Warrant Officer Patrice Vincent succumbed to his life-threatening injuries, passing away shortly after in the hospital.
Oh, my goodness.
All the other soldier who had been hit survived with non-life-threatening injuries.
Oh, my goodness. So did he get hit more directly then?
It sounds like it. It sounds like, from what I could see, and if this is wrong, I do apologize. One was standing just to the side and Patrice got full on impact, front impact. And so he went straight for him.
Oh, my goodness. At least for him, he didn't have to suffer long.
No, because they said he died.
You'd have to be freaked out for very long, because that would be terrifying to be struck by a car.
I could not find out if he was even conscious before he passed, because it could have just knocked him out and he could have just gone to sleep.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised.
And that's what I hope. Honestly.
I know, seriously, because that would be so scary. So painful.
It is.
Oh.
What is totally heartbreaking about this situation, besides the fact that he passed away, is that Louise Vincent, Patrice's sister, said her brother wasn't even supposed to be at that strip mall parking lot that day that he was killed.
Oh my goodness. This must have been kind of like a spontaneous.
Yeah, it was a spontaneous.
Rather than searching him out.
Yeah. It was all because of Patrice's willingness to help another in need that he was in the parking lot that day.
I hope the person that he helped doesn't feel bad, because
survivor's guilt is so horrible. And I just pray that that guy doesn't have it so badly that it ruined his life, because it's not his fault. It isn't.
Plus, he deserved to have that help.
He did.
That man deserved to have that help.
He just wanted to retire, and this guy was helping him, you know? It's not wrong to ask for help ever. And so when something happens to somebody, it's you can't blame yourself for that.
Yeah. Patrice was just an amazing man.
Yeah. So the driver of the car that rammed into them, mm-hmm. who they found out hit the mm-hmm. men on purpose. It was not an accident whatsoever.
That just makes me mad.
It makes me upset too.
If you ruined and messed up people's lives, what was his purpose? Why did he do it?
I'm going to get into that.
You know?
Yeah, I'm going to get into that in a minute. His name was, and again, even though I don't really care about this guy because he's the perp, I'm sorry if I butcher the name just because I kind of want to get it right. His name was Martin Couture Rolelia. I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. This is from his father, Gillis Riole. He said that he had sought psychological help at a local clinic because he had seen some changes in his son. So he actually went and asked for help for his son.
That is awesome. Good on you.
I hope he doesn't blame himself because, you know, he did ask for help. I don't know why they didn't give it to him, but he did ask for help.
Maybe the changes happened and then quickly that happened. Because do you know exactly when he asked for help?
No, but this is also another thing that added to it.
Okay, but he was crying. That's amazing. That makes me so happy.
Yeah, that makes me happy
too. It makes
me
sad when you don't have this in part of the story.
Yeah. He then contacted the police. So this is after he tried to seek psychological help for his son. He contacted the police when he saw that his son was watching videos promoting ISIS, like the recruitment
videos. Oh my goodness.
He was watching like the recruitment.
Oh my goodness, that's terrifying.
It is. And he was telling them, and this is before this happened, so do not look at the father in a bad way because at this point, the son had not done anything. He told them his son didn't belong in jail but needed to be in a psychiatric hospital.
At this point, he did. He belonged in a psychiatric hospital.
Yeah, he just didn't believe he belonged in jail. And so I don't want you to think that it was after the attacks and he's saying he doesn't belong in jail. This is before any of this happened. But he was like, my son needs help.
Because at this point, he hadn't broken any laws. Mm-mm. It's not illegal to watch
ISIS recruitment videos and stuff.
Sometimes I feel like it should be illegal.
Yeah, for
because
real.
Because of the terrible things that they do that ISIS has done.
But it's unfortunately,
not he hadn't done anything illegal. So he definitely belonged in the psychiatric hospital. And unfortunately, he didn't get
the help that he needed. All right. Now I want you to take a deep breath, Sydney, because this part is the hardest part that I had to research. And it got me really upset, really worked up. I had to talk to my husband and my mom about it because I was just like so upset. Okay. So this is a quote.
Okay. I think I'm ready as much as I can be.
Okay. So this is a quote from Martin Corte. I'm just going to say Martin from now on because I don't want to ruin his last name.
Yeah.
He called 911 while he was on the run after hitting the two men. He took responsibility for the hit and run and said, and this is a quote, "Alert Canada, the governor, and everyone who is responsible for the army to leave the coalition fighting against ISIS." So he's saying, pull back now. Pull back. Because they were helping America.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they were helping America. And he was like, stop. He's like, you need to stop now.
Not to diminish like what he did, but he thinks that just because he hit two soldiers, which I'm not saying that what he did is any less awful because it was awful, but just because he hit two soldiers, that we're going to stop fighting a bigger evil?
Yep, yep, yep. And then it gets worse, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
When he was told to turn himself in, he said, I might cross the paths of another one of your soldiers and I'll kill them.
That's just terrible and messed up.
I just don't understand
how someone can do something like that and how they can think something like that is okay.
Oh my gosh, this part just drove me crazy. He basically said, I called 911 to warn you. I'm not here to turn myself in and more soldiers will probably die. And that just drove me up a wall. I was just like,
That would drive me up the wall. Please tell me they caught this man.
Okay.
Please tell me.
I'm going into this. So Martin eventually crashed his car into a ditch.
Well, thank heavens.
Because he was probably driving recklessly.
Oh, definitely. I would say so with that kind of speech to the police.
And then, oh my gosh, he got out of the car and he ran toward a police officer armed with two knives. So he just went charging after them with weapons.
That is not very intelligent.
And he was gunned down.
Generally, yeah, exactly. Police officers generally always have a firearm on them. Like,
and
it's
he had
required
two knives.
Because
it's like
they
that
have to defend themselves. He went into
a gunfight with knives. Never go into a knife gunfight with a knife. And he died.
You're going to lose.
Yeah. But
they have much more range than you do.
Yeah, but the fact that he actually got out of his car and charged at them just showed how much hatred he had. And that's horrible.
That is so sad. That just makes me sad.
It makes me sad. It makes me angry.
I hate feeling angry.
Me too.
That is one of the feelings that I hate the most is angry, which is kind of an ironic statement, I know.
Yeah.
But I just hate that feeling because it's such an awful, it just tears you up. And it's so sad that he had that much hatred and anger.
And I feel like the worst part is like he just went after innocent soldiers. Like they did nothing to him.
All they were doing was serving their country. And you killed me.
And to make it worse, they were walking through a strip mall. Like, that's all they were doing, and they were in uniform, and they deserve to be in uniform. They served their country.
Yeah, they had literally just done something that was out of their way and kind for someone. They were literally not doing anything to him.
They weren't doing anything wrong, and he decided he was going to take their lives into his hands. That is just disgusting to me.
Seriously, that is so sad and so awful.
Yeah, so now I'm going to talk about the aftermath of all of this.
Okay.
Now, sadly, even though Nathan's case totally deserved to be told, his case took more of a spotlight because of the shooting in the Parliament building.
Yeah, and because he ran into the building, the Parliament building.
Yeah, the shooting of the Parliament building, the fact that they had to hide the Prime Minister, his story kind of overshadowed him. But two families were shattered in these 2 days, not just one family. There were two.
Yeah. But thank heavens, at least one of them made it.
Exactly.
I'm sure he has some healing that he needs to do, but at least he made it and he can still be with his family.
Yeah, luckily. But I was talking about the two families being Nathan's family and Patrice's family.
Yeah.
The ones that were torn apart. Patrice's sister struggles, thinking something could have been done to avoid her brother's death. And she wishes that they had taken Martin's dad seriously when he said that his son needed help.
I don't blame her for being frustrated.
And upset. Like, she lost her brother. And to find out that, like, his dad was trying to get him help, and it didn't seem like they were taking him very seriously, is very sad.
That would be so frustrating, and so that would be hard to cope with.
She also talked about a bill about terrorism that she supported because of the fact that this was terrorism, and it's kind of like an iffy bill. It's like an iffy bill for some reason, and she's like 100% supportive because she's like, it could have saved my brother's life.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I get where she's coming.
I mean, that is definitely terrorism. ISIS is a terrorist group. And he was an ISIS supporter.
Yeah. So there were some pictures that I found that I would like to talk about, which will be posted on our Instagram. So the first picture I want to talk about is the picture of Warrant Officer Patrice Vincent himself. So it's a picture of him in his uniform in front of the Canadian flag.
Oh, yeah. This is an awesome picture. I like it.
I love it.
It's very regal.
For such a quiet, humble-sounding man, and I feel like you'll agree with me because you've seen this picture, you can see the pride he has in his uniform.
Yes.
In his eyes, you can just see like that he is proud to be wearing that uniform, and he deserves to be proud.
Yeah, he is proud to have been serving his country, his beautiful country.
Yeah, and it totally breaks my heart that it was because of the uniform that he was killed, because he had every right to have pride in that uniform.
Oh yeah, he had every right to wear that uniform, and he shouldn't have had to be worried about wearing it.
He shouldn't have been targeted because of the uniform that he was wearing at all. Afterward, they were like, we're not sure if you guys should be wearing your uniforms, because of the fact that right after this, Nathan was killed, and they were like, oh my gosh, they're like killing soldiers everywhere. You guys probably should take your uniforms off. And that's horrible, because it's such a beautiful thing. And I know it was to protect them, mm-hmm. but it's so sad, because it's such an honor to wear that uniform and be a veteran.
Oh yeah.
And to have that happen, yes. You're just like, oh my gosh. And it just shouldn't have been targeted with such a horrible act because of it.
Oh yeah, definitely. He should have been able to continue walking, get to where he was going, and continue his day.
And then go home and sleep at night, safe and sound.
Mm-hmm.
So the second picture I would like to talk about is the one with his mother being escorted by a soldier while holding a flag in honor of her son. And I sent you that picture today.
Oh my goodness, this is a touching one.
I love the picture.
I'm looking at it. That is touching.
Yeah, that picture, but it broke my heart at the same time. As much as it broke my heart, I love that picture.
It looks like she's holding a Canadian flag, too.
She is.
Is that his hat?
I'm not positive.
It looks like his hat that he's holding.
It might be.
It's the same color as the guy next to him's hat.
It probably is.
That's why I say that.
It probably is.
That is a touching picture.
It is. You can see the mix of devastation and pride in her face.
Yes.
And no parent, and I think Sydney, with you being a mother, with you being a parent, you can express this mm-hmm. even more than I can, that no parent should have to bury their child.
Oh, absolutely. Children should always be able to bury their parents.
You should never.
No one wants to bury their parent, of course.
No, of course
but
not.
But no parent should bury their child.
Mm-mm.
That is. I don't know if I can imagine anything that would be more heartbreaking than
losing your son.
Child.
Yeah.
I love my child with all my heart, and yeah. I love watching him play, and I can't imagine
and grow and get his personality.
I can't imagine burying
him.
It's
heartbreaking. And I've watched members of my family who've had to go through this. I lost an uncle before my grandpa died. So mm-hmm. I saw my own grandfather have to bury his son. I've also watched my aunt. She lost quite a few babies. So she never even got to like watch them grow. They were like stillborns and stuff. I didn't watch this, but I've talked to her about it. And, you know, it's just so hard. And I would want that on anyone ever.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what the age of the child was. I don't care that he was 53. You should never lose them like that. You should never have to bury your child.
Especially such a senseless act.
And like I said, it was in such a horrible to think, like, she has to know that her son was targeted because of what he was wearing. That's just so heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm. So heartbreaking.
So the third picture that I would like to talk about is when they bring the wreaths out. They had these wreaths that they brought, two of them, to honor the men whose lives were taken so close together and so horribly. They're just staring at it as they're putting it down. And I think you saw the picture. And I just
I'm looking at it right now.
I love the respect. The respect, the love that they seem to have in their eyes of just like, you know, showing that these men are heroes.
Yeah.
They're beautiful, beautiful men. And you can just see the way that when they're putting the wreath down, that they're being so gentle to make sure that nothing happens to it. It touched my heart. It totally, totally touched my heart.
Yeah.
And the last one that I want to talk about is when Prime Minister Stephen Harper, Prime Minister Designate of Canada, just did you know, were paying their respects at the Reeds. And I thought it was so great to have a picture of them standing in what looks like a moment of silence, honoring the two men who Canada know as heroes, especially since Prime Minister Stephen Harper was directly affected in the Nathan Cirillo case.
He was involved. So, this is even more touching because Stephen Harper was the current prime minister and Justin Trudeau is now the current prime minister.
Yeah, which is what they mean by prime minister designate, is that he's almost he's coming up to being it. And he might have even been involved in the Nathan Cirillo case because parliament building.
A lot of people were in there.
So that it's a total possibility that he was in the same building when the shooting happened. And so I'm just saying it must have hit them a lot harder because of the fact of their involvement. Because, they were totally involved in both. Because even though they weren't involved directly with the Patrice Vincent case, it hit them because, 2 days later, this thing happened. And it's kind of in the same area of like terrorism and hatred, and it ended in them being gunned down. There's a lot of similarities to these stories.
Oh, yeah. Both of them were senseless. Both of them shouldn't have happened.
Yeah, both of them shouldn't have happened. And unfortunately, both of them happened to men who were serving their country, and they shouldn't have been targeted because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sydney, what do you think of this case?
Well, I feel like that's a little bit of a loaded question.
I know. It's always hard when you have to have the closing remarks because you're just like, that was all of them are pretty hard hitting.
Yes. And I hate that the reason why he did it was because of ISIS.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Because ISIS are radicals.
And let me just say real quick, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but this is not Muslims. This is ISIS. Muslims don't do this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They are radicals.
No,
they are the people that give the peaceful, calm, humble people of Muslims a bad name.
I feel like in every religion there are the radicals.
Oh, yeah. And these people are the ones that give them the bad name because of their radical, crazy beliefs. And it's so sad because they have taken their beliefs way too far and are trying to commit genocide.
Yeah.
And he sided with them.
Yeah. And the fact that when he called, he was saying, make your people leave. Make your people leave ISIS alone.
Mm-hmm.
That just was so intense and radical.
It's so frustrating. Thank heavens he crashed his car so that more people didn't get hurt.
Because
I'm
he
said, grateful for that.
I'm glad he didn't find another soldier because he said, I'll kill him.
Yeah.
I am glad he did
not
find
this could have been a case of three
multiple.
Plus people and hit. So thank heavens he
crashed. It could have been another
I'm
mass
so
murder.
Happy about that. So yes. Terrible.
Yeah, I just want to say before we get into our big closing is that we want to reach our love and support for Patrice Vincent's family, and that we are deeply sorry for what happened to him and what happened to Nathan and his family, and that we just really wish that it hadn't happened, but we want to pay respect because unfortunately it did.
Yes, I second every word of that. So what are some of the sources that you used for this case?
A lot of Global News, CBC Canada.
I like them.
Yeah, I try to avoid anything Wikipedia.
Definitely.
CBTV News Canada.
Yeah, we'll have a link to our website, and those will all be on our website.
Mm-hmm.
And this podcast was created and hosted by us, Sydney and Shakira. And it was researched by the lovely Shakira.
Thank you.
And edited and produced by Ernest. The music is by Heart Song Studio for the theme music, and others by AMBC. And everyone, remember to give hugs,
not slugs. Bye.